Appreciate that. And I do have one ask of you.
Okay.
Will you be my first introduction to Skyline Chili? I'll come up to Cincinnati. I've never had Skyline.
You haven't?
Never had it. Will you be there for my first experience?
Absolutely.
All right,
come, when are you coming?
You tell me. Hey, I'm up for some Skyline. Let's make it happen.
Well, you tell me when you're coming up and we'll go do it. I'm all in on that. Yeah.
I like it.
Would love it. I'll run you through the ropes. I don't go there all that often. It's kind of like the physical discipline you're talking about. If I go there all the time, I'm just going to pack it on.
Trouble.
It would, but it's actually, I don't even know if it's that much. Is it that many calories, Dirt, in Skyline? Do you know?
It probably depends on the size you get.
Yeah. Do you ever go to Skyline?
Yeah. I love it.
Well, obviously, there's no calories because you have no calories on your body at all. You're one of those guys you got to remind, like, go eat.
Yeah.
Go eat. All right. So, yes, absolutely. Welcome to Aggressive Life. Hey, here's a stat that's going to blow your mind. That's an old story of mine, Dirt. You ever hear that story?
I don't think I know that story.
You never heard that story? It was one of the one of my biggest regrets in life.
Oh, is it a quick story? No, it's not.
No, it's not a quick story.
We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it. Anyway, this will blow your mind. If you intentionally put your phone away for an hour a day, you'll get back 15 whole days in the course of a year. Wow, that's 2 weeks of your life. Easier said than done, right? At least I know this for me. I like my phone. I like it a lot. Phones are powerful tools. They can be helpful, important, and inspiring. But like any tool, there is a time and place to use them, and there is a time to put them down. Entrepreneur, thought leader, Father Joey Odom, he wants to help you to do just that, and he's doing just that. He's a co-founder of RO, a first-in-class movement helping families have less screen time and more face-to-face time. Joey Odom has been motivated by his own personal failure in this area, and he's trying to help all of us succeed. After a long and grueling season, his 5-year-old son finally scored a soccer goal, and the crowd went nuts. But this was the moment of clarity for him because the coach ran out and gave him a hug. Everyone was celebrating, and Joey missed the whole thing, distracted by something on his phone. That was a seed that began to form into what we now know as RO. It's a box that not only holds your phone, but pairs with your companion app, tracks your phone-free time. You set time-away goals and get rewards for achieving them, and you get into friendly competition with the rest of your household. And it's working! In less than 2 years, RO has helped families reclaim over 2 million phone-free hours. He believes that when you change your relationship with your phone, you change your relationship with everyone around you. There might not have been another thing that I've ever set up as a conversation that has more people stopping and going to their podcast.
I want to keep my phone.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, because we like our phone.
Yeah.
I like my phone. We like it a lot. And I think a lot of people are like, oh man, I don't want to do it here. But those of us who are left, good for you. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to brave and be like you because I like my phone. I use it a lot. But I think Joey's going to have some good stuff for us today. So welcome to the Aggressive Life, Joey Odom.
Brian, it's so good to see you. And listen, I will tell you this. I promise you I like my phone more than you like your phone. So here's a good thing. For anybody listening, you don't have to give up your phone. So let's just set the stage there. You don't have to turn this off. Keep your phone. Everything's okay. But we got to do something. We got to change it a little bit. Because you know what? As much as I like my phone, I like my kids a lot more than I like my phone. I like my wife a lot more than I like my phone. So we got to reshift this relationship that we have with it. And hopefully we can talk about that a little bit today and help people do that in a much easier, much more approachable way than they might think.
Yeah, I'm pretty off the grid. I do a lot of outside camping, extreme stuff. It's not hard for me to imagine being without my phone for long periods of time when I'm doing those things for long periods of time. But when I'm talking about being around civilization, it's really hard for me to imagine being without my phone or even having a goal to be without my phone. I don't know if it's even possible.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I think the way that we have looked at phones when it comes to phones is it's all screen time is bad, right? I mean, when people talk about this, like, oh, all screen time is bad. Well, hold on a second. Like, we're looking at it in such binary terms, like all phone or no phone. So what we're not proposing is for you to go back to a flip phone. What we're not proposing is for you to spend even a day off your phone. What I'm proposing is something more along the lines of just a suitable life rhythm. Like when my 14-year-old daughter wants to talk to me, just imagine this. I don't glance at my phone while she's opening up to me. You know, something as basic as that, these little things, because our phones, absolutely, the way we relate to our phones has absolutely crushed our intimacy in our relationships over the last 15, 16 years since the iPhone came out. So yeah. what I'm not suggesting is, and I bet you, I mean, I know your heart, and you want to have closeness in relationships. So my suspicion is, as much as you don't necessarily want to set a goal for time away from your phone, I bet you do have goals for closeness in your relationships, right? When someone's talking to you, to look at them eye to eye instead of glancing right. your phone. So that's really what we're talking about here. And it is a subtle nuance, but we have to recognize that this is, again, I'll say it again, this has absolutely crushed the intimacy we have in our relationships. And it's doing so much damage. The way we relate to our phones, I'm not demonizing our phones. It's the relationship that we have with our phones. That's what it is that's crushing us. And if we can change that relationship, not get rid of your phone, I'm not even suggesting that we take off a bunch of apps on our phone. I mean, you can if you want, but I'm just saying, how do we relate to our phone when it comes to relationship with others who we say are more important to us?
Right. So this is not a big commercial, though it could sound like that, because I'm talking about a product here that I have a shameful encounter with. Yeah, Joey is not a sponsor of this podcast. This is called The Aggressive Life, and I want to get into this movie made to be an entrepreneur, how they saw this. But first, true confessions. Behind you have your nice little box, and I feel like a turd. So if you don't know, it's a little box. It's got charging cables. You can put it in. I feel like a turd because there's an organization that we contribute to, and they sent it to me. My buddy Gabe Lyons sent one. You know Gabe? Do you know Gabe?
Of course. I didn't realize you were on that list.
Yeah, you must have given him a cut rate deal. And anyway, we sent one of those, and I had no idea what it was. So I'm looking, I'm going, okay, this is obviously an anti screen time thing, which I respect. Cords in there, okay, well made, okay. But I didn't really have a vision for it behind it at all. Didn't have any vision at all behind it. And I stuck in a corner somewhere, and shoot, I don't know what, I have no idea. I bet it's not even in my house anymore. I have no idea. But so just reading the intro that Dirt gave me, there's a vision for this I didn't have. That's good. So go ahead, go back to cast the vision for how you came up with this box, why it is, the whole development of it, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I'll start, and I want to reemphasize what you said. This is not a commercial. I don't care at all if nobody joins RO at the end of this. What I do think, the term RO means to notice. What I do care about is that people listening here understand that you can live a life of notice. You can live a life of RO. This is possible. This is accessible to you. And yes, we have a product. And by the way, this product, and this is where it will be a pitch, because I know this is true. This will change your life if you adopt the way that RO is designed. And we do have this... We do have this box. Yes, the box is where you put your phone, but really RO is a platform. So the real magic of RO is within the RO app. So this gamification of being away from your phone. So we had this recognition. My business partner Heath Wilson and I had this recognition 4 or 5 years ago. We just said, this silly little rectangle in my pocket, the silly little phone, is getting in the way of my most important relationships. And the real problem is that it is with me all the time. And so that's a very, very basic thing to say, but that is the problem here, that we are physically and emotionally unable to turn towards the things that are most important to us when we have this phone with us. And so we get to figure out, how do we break this proximity problem that we have with our phones, this convincing of ourselves that I need my phone with me all the time. So 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day. And that's just because we've developed this bad habit with it to begin with. So we said, how can we begin to break that? How can we get people to spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour away from their phone every day, maybe some time on date night or at the dinner table? How can we break that physical proximity? Because when you do that, then your interaction with your phone goes down and your dependence on your phone goes down. Your sense of dependence on your phone goes down. But it all begins with the fact that it's with us all the time. So we said, let's build a box, right? Which I understand how basic and silly that sounds, but that physical barrier is very, very important to you. But what we found very quickly was, hey, people need to have some gamification around it. We can all put our phone in a shoebox right now, but what about the system that pushes us to put it down? So we built an app, and we have some truly brilliant people working on the app that helps gamify the experience of being away from your phone. So sending the reminders, hey, it's dinner time. Why don't you spend some time away from your phone? That developed into RO being able to just be literally a flip of the phone initiates an RO session. And people say this all the time, Brian. This is what's amazing to me is people will say, just knowing that my time is being tracked away from my phone, because when you flip, when you're in an RO flip session, your phone is tracking the time that it's flipped down. Or when your phone is in the RO box, it's tracking that time away. People say, just knowing I'm in a flip session, I don't want to break my session.
Interesting.
I want to get credit for this. It feels really good to know that you spent 48 minutes away from your phone, right?
Interesting.
And when you do that, it's like a fitness app. You go and tap the thing that you did, the activity that you did. So I track everything that I do away from my phone so that I can go and look at, this is the life that I'm living. Huh. This is the aggressive life that I'm living. I know exactly how much time I've spent reading the Bible this year. I'm on a 1-year Bible reading challenge right now. I know exactly how much time. And you know what? That feels really good. And what happens when I see that is I begin to identify myself as somebody who reads the Bible. And what does that do? That encourages me to be more like that person who I identify myself as. So we have this really cool opportunity with.
So I don't need the box to do it then?
Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, the one takeaway that I want everybody to do today is just go download the app. I mean, that's just go check it out. So I want everybody to go download the app and just see what that experience is like. You can add the box. That's kind of the level up if you want. But you can absolutely do it with the app. And that whole experience of quantifying the time that you're away from your phone, quantifying the amount of time that you're engaged in something else, that is such a powerful motivator to do more of that and then to engage more in the real life that's around you.
How did you come up with this idea? Let's go back to the beginning. Because this is not the turn off your electronics life. Yeah. We're getting on this a lot recently because it's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But what I'm really interested in even more than that is how you decide to do a new company, why you decide to do a new company, wow, what the pitfalls were for it. That's some strong moves.
Brian, I was a little bit of my background. Let's tell you some of Heath's. My background, I was in finance and commercial real estate for 15 years in the middle of a really great career, having a lot of fun, successful financially, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I got a text out of the blue one day from my friend Heath. Heath had just sold his business. Heath started a business called eVestment that was sold to NASDAQ. He did very well on the sale. He retired, and 45 days into his retirement, he sent me this text and said, hey, I got this idea. And I think he was just bouncing it off me. He knew I was in the middle of a career, but by the end of the lunch, I said, I'm in. And he said, well, I didn't ask you. And I said, I don't care. I'm in. I'm in because we got to do something. I found myself, you know, this was 5 years ago. So my son Harrison was 11 at the time. My daughter Gianna was 9 at the time. And I just saw, you mentioned the soccer story at the beginning when I missed Harrison's first soccer goal, or hearing the times that my daughter Gianna would say, daddy, look at me, or daddy, will you jump on the trampoline without your phone? Like literally asking those questions. And I just realized that, what am I doing? Right. You know, you spend all your life looking forward to the life that you could have and the spouse that you could have and your future kids. And all of a sudden I found myself squandering all these things that I had hoped for all my life. So this message was so resonant. And so we just took an ideating step. This happened right in COVID. So we took 18 months of just ideating and beta testing and seeing if other people felt this tension. And then turns out they did. And then we took a little bit more time on seeing, hey, is this solution, does this work in kind of an MVP form? And it did. And I got to this point where we said, we got to do something. We're going full court press, and quit my career and have been on the journey for several years, just preaching this message because I know for myself, there was, you know, not to compare myself to Paul, but I was the chief of sinners here, knowing the person that I was when it came to my phone and knowing how my relationships were suffering and then contrasting that to now, it is a night and day difference. And I can't imagine doing anything else than telling people, that life also exists for you. That is also possible for you. And it's a very small thing. We're all looking for levers in life. You know, these levers, these things that require minimum input to give you maximum output. We're all looking for this. This, to me, is the greatest lever we have in a relationship in 2024. This is the greatest thing. And it sounds so silly and it sounds so stupid, but it also is so hard. This is hard to put down your phone. We understand that. So how can we go make this easy for other people to do so they can experience that life that they hope is possible?
So you started off doing what? You hired a bunch of coders. You learned to code yourself. What was the next step?
I'm definitely not stroking keys. I'm not a coder. So we hired at first, it was just Heath and me. We hired a bunch of outsourced consultants on the hardware and software side. We were warned before, you know, because we have the box, the physical side, which is, I'd say it's like my wife. It's beautiful on the outside, but really smart on the inside too. So it's this beautiful thing that you can display in your home, but it is tech packed. So the majority of what we did on the front end was we got to crack the code on hardware, and everybody told us that hardware is hard. And they were absolutely right. We didn't listen to any of them. And candidly, if we would have known how difficult this was, we probably would have really questioned the fact that we're going to go into this. But now that we're on the other side of building a hardware product, because we know how difficult it is, it actually makes us feel good because we believe this is a solution. Having a physical product is a really helpful companion for this. So we spent most of our time on the front end with hardware developers. Then we looped in the software. We brought in the UX and UI people to kind of design out the app, game design experts and people who are kind of specialized in motivational habit forming software, because this is a habit that we're helping instill in people. So that was probably 9 months of that before we started making a few hires. So Heath was fortunate to go to people he worked with in his last business, kind of the superstars there, people who'd were working for NASDAQ at this time, and say, hey, here's what we're building. Are you interested in this? So we hired a chief technology officer, head of customer experience, head of operations through that. And we've kind of built out the team since then. But it's been an iterative process. A huge transformational thing for us was insourcing our product management. So we have a female by the name of Shay Sabula, who is fantastic, who's leading our product development. So she's leading the way on, hey, how can we make sure that this experience is sticky, that it is habit forming, that this is something that makes life change in people. We're not interested in going in and selling the dream of something without something that backs it up. So we've focused, this is a long way to answer it, but a lot of people will say, do you start on marketing or do you start on product? We've spent 98% of our efforts all on product, making something great that really helps people address this issue. And so now that we feel like we've cracked that code, we're really starting to ramp up the marketing side of it too, just to get the word out and let people know there is another side to the life you're experiencing now.
So you think this thing has legs? I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I'm saying you think that there's a critical mass of Americans who are going to, or people who are going to want to walk away from their phone?
I think there is a tension that we all feel. It's almost like the, you know, Neo talking to Morpheus, or Morpheus talking to Neo about this thing we all feel, this thing that's kind of floating in the ether, and it's hard for us to pinpoint what it is, but we feel a rising tension. And what the greatest evidence of this in recent memory is Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation.
Yes.
This book has put into words this tension that we all feel. And we're going to look back and we're going to say, I can't believe we were giving our 9-year-olds phones. I can't believe I had a phone at the dinner table with my... We're going to say all of those things.
I agree.
And right now we're just in the middle of the tension. And there is we see it. We've done basically no marketing. And we have, 5,000 families on board with this who are sending us emails every day saying, this has changed my life. So we know it already. For us, it's without us even beginning to scale. So there's undoubtedly a movement coming. I think when you look at the wellness trends in the past, you look at physical wellness, how much that overtook the 90s and 2000s, how mental wellness, the 2000s and 2010s, 2020s, digital wellness is next. And this is the digital wellness frontier is absolutely going to overtake any of those predecessors, mental wellness, physical wellness. You talk to any venture capitalist right now, they're saying the most deals they're seeing are all in the digital wellness space. How can we separate from technology? What can we do about technology? Everybody's feeling this tension. It's the biggest source of dis-ease. And we're fortunate to have started this in COVID, so we have a little bit of a head start. But we don't have any competitors. When I say that, I mean, like, even if somebody else came and made a box, we would applaud and celebrate that, because that's just bringing to the forefront the fact that this is a problem and that we, as a collective group, we have to do something about it together.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of like the people who raise their middle finger to Apple.
Yeah, it's hard. That's hard to do when I'm holding an iPhone, because I am. You know what I mean? I'm holding an iPhone. I love my phone. So that's where the real balance is. I'm never getting rid of my phone. I love it. It does so much great stuff for me. I need it. However, I don't need it at the dinner table. I don't need it in the middle of a conversation with my kids. I don't need it on a date night. My wife and I celebrated our 20-year anniversary last week. We were in Florida celebrating that. And so when we'd go out to dinner, I'd just leave my phone in the hotel room, because I knew, and that's not because I'm disciplined, it's because I'm undisciplined. Yeah. I knew if I had my phone with me, that I would look at it and I would be deterred from the thing that was most important to me. So I can go back and look last week and see how much RO time I had on my anniversary trip. And it is fantastic to know that all that time was spent focused on what was most important to me.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and we're now seeing that these health issues with our digital obsession are real.
Yes.
In case you're late to the party or not hearing these things, no question at all. Increase in teen depression and suicide based on them having a phone and doing social media. No question. It's as obvious as it is telling people don't smoke a pack of Marlboros a day when you're 13. Mm. And yet we're doing that. You can't even buy a cigarette or use a cigarette legally if you're underage, but yet you can't get alcohol, you can't join the military, all kind of dangerous things, but yet the medical evidence on the dangers of tech usage is so high that we got to start age gating. And I'm hearing people at least start to talk about that for the first time. You think that's going to happen?
I think there's absolutely going to be some legislation around it. I mean, and if you look at what's happening out there. So Jonathan Haidt mentioned the Anxious Generation. He has some great norms that he says we should adopt. So one, he says there should be no phones in schools. And then you look at Congress just passed a TikTok ban, and you look at the Surgeon General that says this is a public health crisis. And those are all really good things. And I'm really glad that we're looking to that all these other places that, you know, the school board and the Surgeon General and Congress are doing something. But I bet you people listening here, I don't have time to wait for the school board. I don't have time to wait for Congress. I don't have time to wait for the Surgeon General. We got to do something ourselves. And so when it comes to if I'm waiting on somebody to age gate phone usage, hold on a second. That's a real problem, because I got to do something about it right now. We don't have the time to wait around on this because of the catastrophic effects it's having. So I will tell you, even when cigarettes were age gated, right? You couldn't buy cigarettes until you're 18 forever. And yet, teenage smoking and kid smoking was prevalent. And here's when it changed.
Well, I don't know if it was forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly.
I used to buy cigarettes all the time in high school. Junior high, I'd buy cigarettes. God bless America. Back when America was America.
So I'll say forever just in my limit. I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't. So I grew up in 19. I was born
Sucker!
In 1980. So I
could. Sucks to be you. So sorry.
I did not have the pleasure of sucking in Camel Unfiltereds into my lungs at a young age. But if you begin tracking, and this is an interesting stat, if you begin tracking youth smoking, kids smoking, underage smoking, from when they began tracking it to now is down 78%. Mm. Okay. When they began tracking adult smoking to now, it's down 78%. The exact same. And what didn't change that? It wasn't a smoking age that changed anything there. It was parents modeling to kids that smoking was normal that changed. So when that changed, and you know why that changed? That changed because parents realized, I know smoking's bad for me, but when we found out it was bad for our kids, that this secondhand smoke was damaging their lungs, we said, holy crap, I got to do something about it. And so when parents started modeling the way, when they stopped modeling this bad behavior, all of a sudden, what was normal to kids changed, and they stopped smoking at the exact percentage point, right? So I completely agree. I completely agree that we should not give phones to kids when they're too young. I mean, and people, Jonathan Haidt says before high school. So let's just use that as a benchmark. Shouldn't give kids a phone before then. However, if we're relying on that's the only thing, or social media until I think 16 years old, he says, if those are our only two safeguards, that's good. But if we're modeling bad behavior, No. The reason kids are so subjected to the ills of social media now, that they haven't built up this resilience to be able to withstand all these terrible things that are happening on social media. One big problem is because they have grown up with parents who have been looking at screens instead of their eyes. And that sucks to hear. That's a harsh reality. But we as parents are the ones who are modeling this. So when people ask me, "Hell, I have an 8-year-old. When should I give my kid a phone?" My first question is, "Well, how are you modeling it yourself? Because it's not going to be worth anything if you're going to give them a phone at any age. They're just going to do exactly what you've said. Here's what we've done, Brian. We call this the 3 M's. What we have done as parents is we have modeled a bad relationship with our phone. Then we give our kids a phone at any age and they mimic what we've modeled. And then we do something absolutely crazy. We get mad at our kids for mimicking what we modeled to them. We're saying that our kids are the problem. What if we stop blaming the kids for just a second and look inwardly and say, what if we're the ones who could model a better relationship with our phone that our kids will mimic someday?
You're right. I was horrible at this. I'm sure my kids all had stories about me and the phone, and yeah, you just think that you're so important. And of course, when I got really addicted to my phone, it wasn't that I was really into social media. I just had to feel like I was important, that someone was emailing me, like that moment, that someone would text me because I have to feel important. Yeah. And I know they picked that up from me. It's not good. I'm bummed about that.
Of course, here's the good thing. And I know this may sound this may come across condemning. The only reason I can say it is because I can guarantee you I was worse than you were. I had to quit a career so I could fix this for myself, right? So there's no shame for any of us in this. This is brand new. We are fresh into this. This is 16 years old. And so if anybody feels a little bit of guilt or condemnation or shame about we got to push that aside because there's no place for that here. This really is a message of hope of that we can do something about it, that this is the greatest opportunity we have if you are in any relationship. So I know I'm coming across maybe a little bit preachy and I don't mean to, but it's please take away the shame. Please take away the condemnation for anybody's feeling this, knowing that this is from somebody who struggled with it for years and years and years.
Is there any technology that comes close to having as wide-ranging of an impact as the phone did? For background, to give you some time to think about this, our original IT guy, Rich, information technology, our original one, he came on in he came on in, I don't know, 2000, let's call it 2007, something like that. I was always frustrated with how far we were lagging behind, and I just was. And then he came to a meeting one day and gave us a State of the Union, and he had an iPhone picture, and he said, "These have been around," I think he said, "for 5 years. Weren't around before 5 years. I think it was 5 years. And I remember thinking, 5 years? It feels like I've always had a phone, like I've always had running water, because that's how ubiquitous they are. And it dawned on me like, oh my gosh, in such a short span of time, these things are ruling the world and dominating everything in our mind. And I had remembered, it wasn't too long before that, where most of the smart money said that anybody who tries to have a phone and a music device and the same thing is going to be bad, because if we learn anything from tech, it is like dedicated devices are how you make money. Anybody tries to bring them all together, it always falls through. And so most people that you were talking with said, "Oh, this Apple thing, this iPhone thing, no way it's not going to talk." And of course, it just took off. And now we can't imagine. That's just how, I can't believe 16 years. I feel like it's always been coursing through me. Has there been ever any technology you can think of that's so permanently changed culture? Because the car didn't permanently change culture in a decade, you know?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Anything close?
We've read a fair amount on this, and you can go through every technology and probably come up with look what the television did, the radio, and then the television, and you know, the argument is like, well, every generation has had their version of the iPhone, of the portable phone, and it's just not true because of the portability, because of the ubiquity. And again, back to the 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day. They are with us all the time. And that's something that we can change, that we can, again, if you spend any amount of time away from your phone today, you're in the 9% club. So you're, you know, and I think that number can grow, that from 9% to even greater, for people growing awareness that this is the problem, is the proximity. So from what we have read from a lot of smart people, a lot smarter than I am, who've talked about it, is there's nothing that comes close. And the other thing is that it comes to an individual level for everybody. This is an entire world in and of itself to each individual. Now, will AI have a similar effect? I don't know. I mean, they talk about these ideas like with AI, if everybody will watch a customized TV show based on your preferences, and no one will be watching the same TV show because of how all this stuff, that stuff is probably coming. But for now, for this generation, the thing that we have to focus on, I don't believe there's anything from what we've read that has come anywhere close to the impact that it's having, not just on the way that we live. And the cars, let's go back to the car.
Yeah.
Yes, there were no automobile deaths before cars, right? So, I mean, yes, that's introduced another way that we can die, but that's so few and far between. This is, for the most part, cars have been so additive. I mean, vastly additive relative to the downside. This we're seeing, it's maybe 60-40. I mean, our phones are good, but when you look at all the detriment to it, it's getting closer to 50-50 based on the negative effects that it's had on us, particularly our kids and the next generation.
Yeah, that's really a good thing for us to compare and contrast to. For sure, you're talking about the TV. You're right, not even close, because the TV, first of all, was an evolution beyond the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, you just gather around the whole family. No one thought it was evil for the whole family to gather around the living room and listen to the radio. And then the TV did that. It was it was in its spot, in its time zone, you know. And they would sign off at 11 o'clock at night. Then when I was a kid, it was 12 o'clock. And then it was 2. Now it's not at all. But you would sign off. Mm. But it didn't own you. Yeah. Like, I'm looking up right now on my phone. Okay, so the Model T... If you're talking about cars, the Model T comes around in 1908. So 1908, that's the car. The car causes the assembly line to come into being. Henry Ford has the vision for every working man to have an automobile, mainly because he wants to be able to sell them and make money to his own people. And then you have post-World War II, you have the restructuring of the American city around highways and suburbs and all that stuff. Well, okay, that's 40 years. Mm. And even there, that's not changing your personal life so much. But you're right. These phones, the more I think about it, we should all give ourselves some slack, to your point.
Yeah.
Because they've remade everything, and all of us have gotten swept up into it. We're not stupid. It's just that powerful of a technology.
Yes. And this is where, Brian, this is where maybe people would say I'm a little bit too naive here. This is where I actually have hope for it. Is that it's happened so fast that we just haven't had time to react yet. And it feels like we're at a moment in culture where people are taking a quick pause and saying, do I really like what's happening here? Do I really like this idea of a bunch of fourth graders owning, having phones, or should we push that back a little even further? Do I really like the idea of you know, being on my phone? We get all dressed up for a date night, and then everybody just sits around the table looking at a phone. Like, is that really the life we want to live? So I think because it happens so fast, it's given us so little reaction time, but we are reacting now. And that's a very, very good thing. I mean, the people who are hearing this who are saying, I mean, Aro is for the person who says, like, I'm struggling with this. This is not for us to go say, beat somebody with a stick and say, you have to have this. No, this is for someone who says, I've tried a few things that haven't worked. And we're just saying, hey, we know this will work for you because it's worked for thousands of others. But it's for the people who are taking a pause and saying, I don't like how this feels right now.
The things that we've lost are pretty vast. Yeah. I drove into work today, and there was a couple ladies at the stoplight. And both of them there at that stoplight, down looking at their phones, which is fine. No, it's fine and legal.
Yeah.
But I thought, we've lost the ability to just be with somebody else and have small talk. We don't have small talk anymore.
Yeah.
Today I had a meeting, a lunch meeting with a guy, and I was a few minutes early. So I did what I always do, pull up my phone to see what's going on there. And I thought to myself, gosh, there used to be a time where every time I went to a meeting, I would take a book, a paper book, because I would read as I was waiting. God, I always had a book with me. You got to redeem the time. And I would learn things and become a better version of myself because I was reading a book. I can't say I'm becoming a better version of myself when I'm spending all the time I have on the phone. So,
I just to jump in there, I love the word you use there. I love that you said redeem, for us to redeem the time. And that's, if we're so focused here on saying screen time is bad and put down your phone, there is nothing motivational about that. There's nothing. What good is that? What is good is what's on the other side. And if we can look at it as an opportunity to redeem that time, if we could actually be so compelled by the beauty of the world around us and the beauty of the relationships around us and the world that's happening outside of our phones, that really needs to be the driver to see this as an opportunity. My son Harrison, you mentioned the stat earlier, if you can get 15 extra days a year by just spending 1 hour off your phone. My son Harrison just turned 16 2 weeks ago. So that means I have, until he's gone from the house, so 18 years old, they say by the time your kids are 18 years old, you will have spent 90% of the time that you will ever spend with them. So that means that
Say it again.
By the time our kids are 18 years old, we will have spent 90% of the time we will ever spend with them. 90% of, when they're 12 years old, we've spent 75% of that time. So let's just play this out for just a second. If someone came to me and said that I only had, let's say I had 30 days left with Harrison in his life, that's all I get, I would...
Is his middle name Ford?
No, it's not.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I thought you had a sense of humor.
That would have been pretty good. I should have done that. Or just gone to Indiana. Just gone Harrison, Indiana. So if someone said I had 30 days left with him, I would beg and plead for just another hour with him, for just another minute with him. Yet this is my control right now. All I have to do, if I add an extra hour a day with him, then I get 15 days back a year. I can double the time that I have with Harrison just by doing this simple thing. And so we're living this kind of delusional world thinking that time is infinite. And at least on this earth, time is not infinite, right? So we're living this delusion without realizing the opportunity for us is right now, that we will look back and we will say, why did I do that? Why did I miss his goal? Why didn't I just put my phone down and jump on the trampoline with my daughter? And so this all begins, though, with not saying, oh, I need to put down my phone or screen time is bad. No. It is beginning with, I have this cool opportunity to hang out with this kid. I have this great opportunity to spend time with my wife. I have a great opportunity right now to enrich my mind with this book I'm reading while I wait for my friend. So we got to begin with what's compelling, which is the world outside of our phones versus just looking at our phones as bad things.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions, at home, on a hunting trip, camping off my motorcycle, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to get moving. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to have it in the morning. I have a 12 ounce of water, so right off the bat, I'm helping my hydration every single morning. This is the one product, if I had to recommend one, I'd recommend this one to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why I partnered with them for 2 years. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. That's drink ag1.com/aggressivelife. Get yourself some. I just got a new grill slash smoker, and out of all the meat I'm cooking up, there's something that hits the spot like no other. A real American cheeseburger. And when I gotta buy burger, man, I want Flying K Ranch. Located in Findlay, Ohio, Flying K Ranch raises their beef the natural way. No hormones or antibiotics. Just happy cows eating grass all day. Flying K is a family business that ships all over America and partners with state and national certification boards to make sure cattle and customers are happy. Make your meals count this summer with some burgers and steaks from Flying K Ranch. Learn more and place your orders at flyingkranchangus.com. That's flyingkranchangus.com. Time to eat and time to get back to the show. So what have you learned through this? And I don't mean learned about the phone and our brain patterns, but just you living life. You've made some really strong moves here. You've upended your life. What's the most difficult thing about this startup for you?
I mean, from a business perspective, it's a constant life of uncertainty in a startup. And that's tough. I mean, I haven't taken a salary since we started. So I've gone from an income that was plenty to, several years without an income. And so there's a piece of that, and that's by design. We want to keep the money in the business, but that's absolutely living in that world of uncertainty, has been challenging. It takes a long time, Brian. We're doing something that is from a lot of perspectives, people would say is pretty crazy. Like, I mean, you said we'd give the middle finger to Apple. We don't view it that way, but I can see how it would look that way. And that's a pretty big tiger to give the middle finger to, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
So we're going and telling somebody that you need to go pay money to help us put your phone down. I understand how that sounds. That's a completely foreign concept. And so in launching something new, there's always this, hey, is this going to work? Is this something that's I've staked my livelihood on this? So that's absolutely been challenging of going and doing this with this core belief. And that's what it begins. We have three core values at RO, and one of them is belief, is that we just believe in a bigger future. None of us would be working at this and working towards this mission if we didn't believe that there was hope for relationships, if we didn't believe there was more. But you got to really cling to that in those hard days when you realize how big of a monster it is that we're fighting.
It is a big monster. It's huge. And you going with a few years without a salary, how long can you keep that up for?
You know what? We are, not to over-spiritualize this, but one of the things before I quit my career, that came across the parable of the treasure in a field. And in this, the man finds he finds a treasure in a field, and in his joy, sells everything he owns to go buy the field. And there is, in not taking a salary, that is in my joy, because I believe that I've been called to this. I believe that this is exactly where God wants me right now. That's not to say this is a billion-dollar company. I don't know what that means, but I do believe that I've been called here. So there's an element of going without a salary, going without compensation. That's an act of faith and just saying, like, God, I trust you to take me wherever you want to. Now, I will tell you, in several years, if you look at my net worth, and I don't know how God has done this, because I'm not an independently wealthy person by any means. If you look at my net worth, it is up 1% from when I began 2 years ago.
Really?
I don't know how. I mean, the market's been pretty good. It's not like we had a lot of money in there. It's just. So in all of that, we're trusting that this is exactly what we need to be doing. We believe, just like when God called Moses and Moses said, God, what if they don't believe me? God's first question of him was, well, what are you holding in your hand? And so, okay, now throw it before them, it'll turn into a snake. And he later, part of the Red Sea using that staff. But that's the question for us. What are we holding in our hand right now? How can I be good with what I'm holding? And if I'm trying to be good with what somebody else is holding, that's coveting. I don't need to do that. And if I'm trying to do anything else than what's in my hand, And I believe right now that's where I've been called is, hey, I got to be great with what God has given me to hold in my hand right now. And that's not just this business, but that's my marriage. And I've not always been great, you know, doing the best husband in the world or the best dad in the world. But I believe that I have those opportunities to steward. And I believe if people can look at that and say, I've been given an opportunity to steward my time and my family and even this phone, can I steward these things well, do well with these things? I do believe that in doing that, that God takes care of us. So that's not a prosperity gospel statement or anything like that. But so I don't know. I mean, that's a long way to say, so Brian, I don't know.
You're drawing down and living off your savings and your assets have gone up.
Yes.
Is your wife working? She has to be working, right?
She's not.
My gosh, what did you just invest everything in Google that was been going up like 25% a year, something like that? That's amazing.
I haven't figured it out, Brian. I don't really know. Again, and I'll say it again. There's no wealth behind the Odom name. So there's for those people looking to marry our kids, you don't have much behind it. It's just it's been great. It really has, and walking in trust and faith and believing that this is something that's helping people is. And you know what, on the other side too, and I mean this, it's not like a commercial or anything. I'd say this if you and I are sitting over coffee, is that I am so much better to be around too. I mean, in my past career, every time the phone would ring, it was just a wave of stress would overtake you from a client calling or something like that. I've been able to, I believe, savor these years a little bit more, kind of walking in trust, walking in faith, walking in purpose, and putting aside this little thing. That's no commercial. This is me saying there's nobody who has been impacted more for the better than me of making it easy to put this thing away and really engage with the people around me.
But you have put, sometimes we just allow ourselves to be a little more vague and therefore a little less helpful than we could be. Yeah. I want to make sure I get this right, because this is a very aggressive move. It sounds like you're having your cake and eat it too. You left your career and somehow God is providing for you all of your needs and your net worth hasn't even gone down. It's gone up 1%. Like, how does that happen?
Like very practically?
Yeah.
I was in real estate, so I invested in some real estate deals that have gone well.
Okay.
The stock market has been pretty good over the last few years, and so any money that was tied up, like retirement accounts, have been in that. That's not all liquid cash. We still own the first two homes that we lived in after my wife and I got married. We still own those, and we rent those out. We've not gone in a decade. We've had two nights of vacancy on both of those homes, so those have been good, and those have appreciated well. So I think there was, you know, my wife is a saver. My wife was fantastic about the decisions that we made financially in the 15 years of my career. So she guided that very, very well and had some, and knowing this, the last few years, knowing this was a possibility, we stored up cash as much as we could. Even talking about this, it feels a little bit awkward talking finances. I know I'm the one that brought it up. And so I do believe we've been fortunate there, but we're able to make some good decisions. We're blessed in a good career. But again, this is by no means, I want to say it again, this is by no means wealth of any sort. It's just we've been able to sustain through that time.
Well, you're the second person in recent memory who is doing some pretty good and inspiring things, and it traced back to doing some really sound financial moves early in your life, doing the right things, then blessed you later on. So we had you, and why am I forgetting his name? The guy who blessed people dirt by giving money away and getting it on Instagram?
Jimmy Darts.
Jimmy Darts. You know Jimmy?
I've seen him, yeah.
Oh, sheesh. Oh, my gosh. Hardcore going after God, hardcore. And he's able to go after God because he worked hardcore in his parents' restaurant and saved all of his money that gave him a runway to do things like that, to make a lot of money and do other things. It's like, it's really cool to see people get rewarded for doing the small things really well early on and over the long haul.
it was, I had a friend of mine who'd been in real estate for longer than I had, a lot longer than I had. But when the market was good, he said, be really careful not to be one of those guys who's upgrading your house and buying a fancy car or something like that. These days end. He said, just be a squirrel, just gather your acorns. And we were fortunate to have taken that advice early on, was just store up the acorns, like in the good time. And it's the statement that makes a happy man sad and a sad man happy is this too shall pass, right? So it's, if you're in the good times, it's not fun to hear that these good times will be over at some point. But if you can recognize that and you can kind of live with a little bit of frugality and you can live with a little bit of eyes towards the future. And again, this is attributed to my wife being great financially with this stuff, then it does afford some of the flexibility to do some other things you may want to do later.
Aside from the phone conversation, you're a pretty smart, wise guy. What other things do you see average people doing or not doing that we should be doing or not doing outside of the tech area?
I mean, I think you go back to some of these basics things of just, let's just take physical health. This is probably just me getting older here, but I'm starting to see the cumulative value of just these little daily deposits of taking walks and putting on a rucksack or you know, doing some push-ups and just putting in little bits every day. It's just so much easier to keep up than to catch up. Mm. And so I think as I've seen that, so I do a take a calcium score. So they measure the amount of calcium that's in your arteries. And the interesting thing about the higher the calcium, that kind of correlates into plaque in your arteries. But what's interesting about a calcium score is the calcium score never goes down. It only increases. It only stays the same or increases. And so if we can have that long-term view at a very young age, like maybe I shouldn't wait till I'm 40 to stop eating bacon cheeseburgers. You know what I mean? Or maybe I need to start living with a little more wisdom when it comes to alcohol. So I think when it comes to physical health, you look at people like that. You mentioned reading. Reading is another one you hear all the time, that, you know, readers are leaders are readers, however you want to say it. That's another thing. And then the thing that I've been, and this is apart from the phone, it can be connected, but it's just this value of presence. It's almost like a magical thing, Brian, of people say when they met, you know, when you meet Bill Clinton, people have said that you feel like you're the only person in the room. And what a magical power that all of us have available to us of just looking in somebody's eyes and just being present with them. I think as a parent, I think about, you know, just because where my kids are now, 16 and 14, I think about parenting a bunch. And I just think you can mess up a lot as a parent. A lot, and you can make up for virtually all of it with your full presence. But on the other side of things, you can get a lot of things right as a parent, and you can completely blow it with a lack of presence, you know? And so I think that's probably been a theme for me, is trying to understand that value of presence. And then when you do that, you help other people feel seen. Feeling seen is such a big thing. We had Dr. John Deloney on our podcast not long ago, and I asked him what the common thread was when people call into his show. And he says, well, it's two things. One is, do you see me? And the second one is, what do I do next? And so I keep coming back to that value of being seen and how important that is, and the opportunity we have to help other people feel seen. Like, you may not agree with them, you may not validate their feelings, but you can at least say, I see you. I understand that you feel that way. So that's a lot. I don't know if I gave much of a concise, I know I didn't give a concise answer, but
no, it was a good answer.
Those are a few of the things that kind of rattle around in my brain is presence, is the small deposits of physical health. Over my shoulder, you can see here is Atomic Habits by James Clear, just those little daily deposits that accumulate over time, which applies in every area of life.
Easier to keep up than catch up.
Yeah.
Love that line. That's good. You're dropping truth bombs. This is just solid. Well, that's what I'm always, that's what I am inspired by. I'm not so much inspired by a good-looking white box and an idea. Those are great. I'm inspired by the person behind those things, How did he, she, them come to bring those into being? How did they sacrifice for those things? Mm. What risks did they take? What chances? What ways did they bloody their nose? What's their internal fires like? How are they stoking their fires? How are they keeping themselves healthy? What's the thing that keeps them going? What's the thing that keeps them from crashing? That's always been the fascinating thing for me. That's why I like biographies and autobiographies. Mm. You know,
I totally agree.
No.
One other thing I'll add to that is having, and this is one that I probably take for granted a bunch, is having a partner in it. So in this business, so certainly my wife, Kristen, she is my, you know, partner. We've been married for 20 years. My business partner, Heath, having somebody there, it is a discouraging thing. It can be a discouraging thing to take a risk, do something aggressive, to go out and do something, to something that other people don't understand. There are discouraging days there, and having somebody there with you who can encourage you on the days you're discouraged, the day they're discouraged, lift each other up. Heath and I work out, you know, 4 days a week with each other, as well. And having that, and by the way, I'm not the guy who can go work out on my own. I wish I were, but I'm just not. I need some accountability. I need somebody with me to push me. I say I can't, like, I suppose I could if I needed to, but it's a lot better with somebody. Yeah. So having that person alongside you as well, I don't know how people do a startup. I don't know how people run a business without somebody who is there with them, who has equal stakes, who has equal days of discouragement and encouragement, and who kind of see through the same lens that you do.
Yeah. Wow. You got a lot to teach us, even just there in the communal aspect. Mm. A lot of people just try and do it on their own.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is good. Well, man, is there anything I should be asking you that I haven't asked you? Anything you want to talk about that we haven't talked about?
Man, I can't think of anything. Nothing comes to mind. I just think that for all the, and I'll circle back on this, for all of the, it's a lot easier to feel shame than it is to feel hope. And it's a lot easier to, it's a lot easier to get discouraged than it is to believe that there's another side of things. So I know I probably came down with a lot of, what may have felt shameful or convicting at the beginning of this, but I want everybody to know that this life of notice, again, this life of RO is accessible to all of us. I would love for anybody listening today, if you just did one thing, just go put your phone away, physically away from you for some amount of time today and just see what happens. Now, if you do 5 minutes today, why don't you just do 6 minutes tomorrow and maybe 7 minutes the next day and start building up that muscle. And if we stop looking at this whole relationship we have with our phone as an addiction, because with an addiction, you say, I have no power, I'm powerless over this thing. If you instead looked at it as a habit and said, well, with a habit, I can do something. So let's stop giving it so much power. And say, well, I got some agency over this, and I'm just going to start building a muscle. And it's not going to, you're not going to solve it this week. You may solve it. You're going to get better this week, but you're going to get a lot better in this month. You'll get a heck of a lot better in a year. My daughter and I, 4 years ago, my daughter, this is May 8th of 2020. I know this because I wrote it in my journal. My daughter and I watched a movie together, and at the end of it, she turned to me and she said, she wasn't congratulating me and she wasn't judging me. She said, Daddy, did you know that's the first time we've watched a movie and you haven't had your phone?
Wow.
Which is kind of a gut punch, right? I mean, it was like, crap, have I really messed it up that bad for 10 years? But there's another side of it that felt kind of good. Right. I thought, well, like, okay, I did something good. Well, I told her that story a couple weeks ago, Brian, because I just read it in my journal, and she's 14 now, and she just kind of laughed. And she said, Dad, that would be so weird if you had your phone during a movie now. So what's normal to her has changed. So just imagine, let's play that out for a second. In a few years, she may go on a date. And what happens when that boy is looking at his phone throughout the meal instead of looking at her? She's probably going to let him pay for the meal and never go out with him again. So her normal and what she expects of others with respect to them and what she expects of herself with respect to others, that's completely shifted. And this is from the person who had, the chief of sinners, the guy who had never gotten it right, been able to reshape what's normal for her. And so wherever you are, this is for the person listening, for wherever you are, it's not too late. You can begin to do this today. And I promise you, there's so much hope on the other side of it.
Yeah. Well said. Joey, what's the game plan? Like, where do you think it's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? You see yourself, it's going to become common, or your box is white, maybe Apple will buy you.
That's right. I mean, I think we see a lot more. We think the future here really is, I think there will always be a place for the box. I think the being able to have RO with you through the app is really where the direction it's going. So I think leveling up at home, the box certainly, but I think for people, I think this will be a very normal thing. Just recognizing that we put steering wheels and brakes on cars and we're going to need something that's going to help us with our phones as well. So I believe that this will be very common. That will be one of many who are addressing this and hopefully, you know, providing value to people and not just telling them to put down their screens. I think the future of our company is helping people experience that life on the other side of it. But the prerequisite of that is that physical distance from your phone.
Yeah. Well, Joey, if someone wants to get a hold of you or your company or anything like that, go ahead and give us an advertisement for yourself. Where do we go?
I'd love people, the very first thing, if you do anything, just go download the app. Just go to RO. That's A-R-O. Do it in the Google Play Store for Android or in the App Store for iPhone. Just go download the app. And then if you want to check us out on our website, it's goro.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at GoRO Now. And we host a podcast called the RO Podcast. We would we'd love for you to check us out in any of those ways. But if there were one thing, just go download the app today.
You have a whole podcast around RO. Like what? This whole podcast is devoted to how to open a lid.
Open a lid, plug in a phone. Yeah, exactly. It's all around intentional living. Brian, we need to get you on there as well. And we need to get you on the podcast as well.
Yeah. So I'll call it on my iPhone. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Would love to. Well, man, I really like you a lot. I used to be around Knoxville a bit. I used to take a boat that I used to have. I sold down to Lake Norris and I was around. Nice. That area a bit more. So if I was down there again, I'd love to hook you up because I definitely love you and what you're doing. I'm impressed with you. Well done, man. Keep pushing forward. It's really good and solid. I feel like you're pushing for all of us and we're thankful.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do have one ask of you.
Okay.
Will you be my first introduction to Skyline Chili? I'll come up to Cincinnati. I've never had Skyline.
You haven't?
Never had it. Will you be there for my first experience?
Absolutely.
All right, we can do it.
When are you coming?
You tell me. Hey, I'm up for some Skyline. Let's make it happen.
Well, you tell me when you're coming up and we'll go do it. I'm all in on that. Yeah.
I like it.
Would love it. I'll run you through the ropes. I don't go there all that often. It's kind of like the physical discipline you're talking about. If I go there all the time, I'm just going to pack it on.
Trouble.
It would, but it's actually, I don't even know if it's that much. Is it that many calories dirt in Skyline? Do you know?
It probably depends on the size you get.
Yeah. Do you ever go to Skyline?
Yeah. I love it.
Well, obviously there's no calories because you have no calories on your body at all. You're one of those guys you got to remind, like, go eat.
Yeah.
Go eat. All right. So, yes, absolutely.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, friends. I've got a lot going on here. I started this off going, oh, man, I used to have that white box. Where's that white box? I started off there going to, oh, man, here we go, another anti-phone conversation, which I need to hear those and have those more often because I need to preach to myself. And then I ended in a, you know, it's really just impressive. Just you can take control of your life. You can figure out what role you want the phone to have in your life. You can figure out what job you want. You can figure out how to manage your own money, like Joey talks about here. You can figure out what you want to do for your own personal disciplines, your Bible disciplines, if you have them, your workout disciplines. Look, don't just let life happen to you. Take control of your life. That's the aggressive life. We'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life. Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and live events over at briantome.com. My new books, a repackaged edition of The 5 Marks of a Man, and a brand new 5 Marks of a Man tactical guide are open right now on Amazon. If you haven't yet, leave this podcast a rating and review. It really helps get the show in front of new listeners. And if you want to connect, find me on Instagram at Brian Tome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.